Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
That's a picture of your life. Your physical life is a title page, maybe a preface, and then you write your real life. Every single chapter better than the chapter before. And it goes on forever. You see, that's what Jesus Christ has done. You see, that's what Jesus Christ has done. The prince of death has been defeated. You see, the power of death, the sting, he took on himself.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
We don't have to fear death. The prince of death has been defeated. And the power of death, the second point is, the power of death has been destroyed. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul devoted this whole chapter to the resurrection. This whole chapter is about death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how significant it is. And he says all kinds of interesting things. He says in verse 26, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. But I want to pick it up when he is speaking over in verse 54. In verse 54, Paul says this, but when this perishable, that'd be us, will have put on the imperishable, that's what we have when we're born again into the family of God, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, he says, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that the power of death has been destroyed. Notice he uses a picture. Sting. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? I can tell you where it is. Death left its sting in Christ. That's the sting of death. Jesus bore it. Lenski, the great Greek commentator, says this, death is not merely destroyed so that it cannot do further harm while all of the harm which it has wrought on God's children remains. He said the tornado is not merely checked so that no additional homes are wrecked while those that are wrecked still lie in ruin. Death and all its apparent victories are undone for God's children. What looks like a victory for death and like a defeat for us when our bodies die and decay, shall be utterly reversed so that death dies in absolute defeat and our bodies live again in absolute victory. What a great thing that he's insight that he has. And by the way, it's consistent throughout Scripture. In Revelation 21, there will no longer be any death in the new heaven and the new earth. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul said that even death cannot separate us from the love of Christ. It cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Even in the Old Testament, listen to what Isaiah writes 700 years before Christ. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Hosea, a contemporary of Isaiah, said this, O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. I will ransom them from the power of the grave and I will redeem them from death. The power of death has been destroyed. The prince of death has been defeated. And the process of death has been described. Turn with me now to John 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Very famous passage. By the way, the context of this is simple. Jesus knows two things. The one thing he knows is he knows he's going to die physically tomorrow. The other thing he knows is that the disciples are also going to die. So he wants to comfort them right before he dies, right before they go into that grieving process. So notice what he says in verse 1, "Do not let your heart be troubled." He knows it will be. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." He says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." You remember Thomas struggled with this. "Lord, I don't know the way." But notice what Jesus said. The process of death is being described. It's right there. He says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." That's what Jesus said. Now, often, and I got to be honest, there were years in my own ministry where I interpreted this and said, Jesus is talking about the second coming. And he does talk about the second coming on occasions, but I don't believe that's what he's talking about here. I don't think that would make any sense to the disciples in this context. The "you" here is not just for all universal believers at the second coming. The "you" is particularly for the disciples and then for us when we die. I believe that he is saying this: "I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." I believe that's the description of what happens when we die. Jesus comes and receives us to himself. In other words, and we'll talk about this in just a moment a little bit more, but you never die alone. Jesus receives you to himself. This fear that we have, what's going to happen, you know, when I have no more awareness, and what's going to happen when I'm all, I don't think that's fear. I believe that he will speak to our spirit. We will be absent from the body and present with the Lord, just like Paul said. He receives us to himself. That's the description of the process of dying. Even in Luke, remember, when it talked about Lazarus, the poor beggar, even when he died, it said that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. It didn't say he went into some horrible state. By the way, I have to make a remark about it. I'm not meaning to offend, but let me say it as categorically as I can. There is no such thing as purgatory, period. Please understand that. That does not come from the Word of God at all. You see, that's not death. Death is Jesus receiving you and unto himself. Four reasons. The prince of death has been defeated. The power of death has been destroyed. The process of death has been described, and the picture of death has been developed. I wanted to turn to a really familiar passage and look at it that way. Let's go to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. You know, it's all often read at funerals, but I don't know if it's ever really, in any sense, explain to give the comfort it should at funerals. This is an amazing piece of work. Now, you know how it starts. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the quiet or the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And then right in the middle, the hinge of this whole psalm, this verse: "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." This is the picture of death. It's amazing. The first thing it tells me is this. Death is a journey. It's not a destination. Let's understand this. Death is a journey. It's not a destination. Notice, even though I walk through the valley, that's amazing. He's saying, look, I'm walking through the valley. It's the shadow of death, but I'm walking through the valley. In other words, I'm going in a place. Pastor Bob Morgan, in a great book he wrote on the 23rd Psalm, says this. He says, that's the thing about valleys. They may have shadows and sorrows, but they are places that you walk through. He says, Psalm 23:4 does not speak of a cave or a dead-end trail. It's a valley, which means it has an opening on each side. He said, the same God who led you in will lead you out. David did not use the phrase, though I walk in the valley. The emphasis is on, he says, which indicates a temporary state. He said, a transition. He said, a bright path ahead, a hopeful future. For Christians, he said, problems are always temporary and blessings are always eternal, as opposed to non-Christians, whose blessings are always temporal, whose problems are always eternal. He said, valleys don't go on forever, and the road ahead is always bright for the child of God, as bright as his promises. There are no cul-de-sacs on his maps, no blind alleys in his will, and no dead ends in his guidance. You see, it's a journey. It's a process. Sometimes we say it this way. I could be in a very difficult state. I could find myself laying in a bed, maybe not very responsive. We use the term coma state, something like that. And often what someone will say is, he's lying at death's door. No, I'm not. I'm lying at heaven's gate. You see, that's where I'm lying. I'm making the journey. I'm ready to walk in. You see, death, it's not a destination. Death is a journey. That's what he is talking about. That's why Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Notice, there's no place in between. When I am absent from the body, I am present with the Lord. That's reassuring. Hopefully, it'll drive fear from us. The picture of death has been developed. Death is a journey, not a destination. Secondly, death is a shadow. It's not a reality. Wow. That's what he says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow. Oh, it seems so real. Yes. All that's going to happen is my soul and spirit will be separated from my body. But I'll be absent from my body and I will be present with the Lord. The best thing I've ever heard when explaining what that means, that it's a shadow, comes from Donald Gray Barnhouse, who was the great pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And Barnhouse buried his first wife. They had a few children. She contracted a disease and she died. His children, of course, were just overwhelmed by the loss of their mother. And so Barnhouse picks up the story in his writing and says this, I was driving with my children from my wife's funeral where I had just preached the sermon. Amazing. He said, as we came into one small town, he said, there strode down in front of us a truck that came to a stop before a red light. It was the biggest truck I'd ever seen in my life. And the sun was shining on it in just the right angle that it took its shadow and spread it across the snow on the field beside it. He said, and the shadow covered the field. And I said to the children, look at that truck. Look at its shadow. If you had to be run over, which would you rather be run over by? Would you rather be run over by the truck or run over by the shadow? He said, my youngest child said, the shadow couldn't hurt anybody. That's right, I continued. And death is a truck, but the shadow is all that ever touched your mom. The truck ran over the Lord Jesus. Only the shadow ran over your mother. How pointed. You see, how pointed. Death is a shadow, not a reality. And death is a journey and not a destination. And death is lonely, but you're never alone. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Now I'm going to challenge your observation skills. There's something profound about this, and we don't notice things. That's the greatness of the Word of God to me. Let me read it in the beginning again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And notice what He doesn't say, for He is with me. He does not say that. What's He say? For you are with me. He changes the pronoun. For you are with me. He stops talking about the shepherd, starts talking to the shepherd. Death will do that. You see, death will do that. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, death may seem lonely, but you're never alone. And so if you think about it, death is a journey, not a destination, just as a shadow, not a reality. And death may seem lonely, but you're never alone. So why do we fear it? There's no reason to fear death. The prince of death has been defeated. The power of death has been destroyed. The process of death has been described. And the picture of death has been developed. We don't have to fear. You know how much I love C.S. Lewis. And Chronicles of Narnia, must read. You know, and by the way, if you have children, act as though they have to read it for their sake and then read it for yours. The whole idea is that the children keep exploring this other world, this world of Narnia. And this world is ruled by Aslan, the great lion, who is a type of Jesus Christ. And Aslan is kind of overwhelming. And what happens is that after each adventure in each book, Aslan sends the children back to England. And then the next book, they come back to Narnia. But in the last book, you can tell that the children are now seeing Narnia in a way they've never seen it before. They're seeing it for all of its splendor. And they realize they don't want to go back. They just don't want to go back. And Aslan then surprises them. You see, Aslan says to him that this time, he said, there has been a railway accident that brought them to Narnia. That they had, by earthly terms, died and left their world behind. He says to them, the school term is over, the holidays have begun, the dream is ended, this is mourning. He then transforms himself into such an awesome, wonderful being for who he truly is that Lewis says, I can't even write about him. Think of that. I can't even write words about him now. This is Aslan. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. All their adventures in Narnia so far was just the title page. Now they're going to write the book. That's us. Everything that you've done from your birth until you physically die is just the title page. That's all it is. And now you're going to have a whole book to write. Listen what Aslan says. He says, it is a story that no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before it. Just imagine that. That's a picture of your life. Your physical life is a title page, maybe a preface, and then you write your real life. Every single chapter better than the chapter before. And it goes on forever. You see, that's what Jesus Christ has done. You see, that's what Jesus Christ has done. The prince of death has been defeated. You see, the power of death, the sting, he took on himself. And then he describes that where I am, there you will be also, and I will come and receive you to myself. And then David says that, death is a picture, that it's a not a destination, that it's a simply a journey, that it's not a reality, it's only a shadow. It may seem lonely, but you're never alone. Death. Something almost all of us fear. But the only way you would ever fear death, the only reason, if you don't know Christ, you should fear death. You need to be born twice so that you die only once. But if you know Jesus Christ, don't fear death. And if you do fear death, you're believing a lie. Let's pray. Father, whenever we come to the Word of God, I often have the thought, how does this passage or these truths apply over a cross-section of all of our people? Well, with this subject, Father, it's pretty clear. Death is a reality for every single one of us. Father, I pray that if people in here this very morning have a fear of death, that these truths from your Word will cast that fear out by their taking their faith and applying it to the truths and the promises of the Word of God, that they will be able to push fear out of their life. Father, I pray that if there is someone here that doesn't know you at all, I pray that they understand how high the stakes are and that they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, because he is their sin bearer. He took the sting of death for them, and that they have the assurance that when they are born again into your family, they will never be separated from you again, that they may physically die, but they will spiritually never die. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus Christ. Death would be such an overwhelming and final thing if it wasn't for him. I thank you, Father, that he came to this earth, lived a perfect life without sin, went to the cross of Calvary, and bore the sins of this world. I thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ satisfied the perfection of your own holiness, and I know that because you raised him from the dead, and he has ascended into heaven. Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is one day going to come and to receive us to himself. And one day he's coming to this earth and receive the church to itself. I thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ has done again for us what we could never do for ourselves. Father, I pray for each and every one of us who know Jesus Christ, that we come to the realization of just how great he is. We pray this for his glory and for our good. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.